good morning to you, church. Whether you walked in here steady on your feet or feeling like you just barely made it through the week, you are in the right place this morning, in the house of God. Amen? Some of you are celebrating victories. Some of you are quietly surviving battles that you're fighting that nobody else can see. And, well, some of you are just tired. Some of you walked in perhaps maybe carrying some questions. You haven't said out loud wondering if God still sees you in the middle of your stuff. And some of you are here just because you're hungry for direction, for clarity, for one solid word to stand on this week. And some of you showed up just because you refused to quit. And that alone, church, is a testimony in and of itself. Because that's what the enemy wants to do, is to keep you away from the fellowship of the saints. Because if he can get you out on there on his own, then you're prime picking for an attack. But wherever you are on that spectrum, God knows exactly how to meet you there, and he's not intimidated by any of it. And if you show up praising God with the beautiful worship songs that we had this morning, it just opens the pathway for God to do beautiful things in your life as we gather to worship. Well, last Sunday, Pastor Adam rolled up his sleeves, walked us through his message called The Faithful One from Matthew chapter 25. And if you listen closely, you kind of maybe probably felt that gentle punch in the gut, the kind that reminds you that God's not grading on any type of curve. We like to think that when life settles down, then we'll be more faithful. Once things settle down in my life, God is just too crazy right now. When things settle down, then I'll get faithful. When the job changes. Maybe when the kids grow up. It's just so busy raising these kids now. When the pressure kind of lifts in my life. We bargain with God like he's running a flea market booth. But faithfulness doesn't wait for perfect conditions. It shows up in the mess we're in and the noise we're experiencing and the parts of life that smell like hard work that we're doing. And let's be honest, we're often shocked by a God that chooses to work through that with you and me. I mean, think about it. The Bible's full of folks who would never pass the background check. Sketchy resumes, questionable decisions. Yet God still hands them the tools and he says, let's get to work. Faithfulness has never been about perfection, but faithfulness is all about showing up. As a matter of fact, Scripture calls faithfulness a fruit of the Spirit, as Pastor Adam pointed out, something that ought to be hanging off of our lives like a peach tree off a summer tree, peaches off a summer tree. Not just a belief, but a habit, a way of walking, a way of carrying ourselves in our spiritual walk with Christ. So, faithfulness has weight to it. Action, responsibility, follow through. It's not always glamorous, but it is solid. And then Pastor Adam referred to the parable of talents. Three servants, same master, same opportunity. Two of them roll up their sleeves to go to work. One digs a hole and buries what he's been given, calls it a day. Now, Jesus doesn't just call him unlucky. Matter of fact, Jesus calls him lazy. He calls him selfish. And that's the part we don't like because it hits a little too close to home. Because you see, when you're not invested, you don't share in the reward. You don't get the profits from a job you never clocked in for. You don't ride the blessing bus if you're still standing at the station with your talent buried in the ground. So the question lands in our lap, how is your faithfulness? How's your faithfulness in serving? How's your faithfulness in giving? How's your faithfulness in actually opening the Word and reading it instead of just owning one? Because God lifts up the faithful, he protects them, he honors the faithful one. Not because they're the most talented by any means, but because they're the ones who keep showing up day after day, job after job. And trusting the master enough to put their hands to work. Now that brings us to today. Because if last week was about the faithful one, about faithfulness, this week is something that we all know a little too well. Surviving. We survive stress. We survive conflicts in our life. We survive temptation. We survive seasons in our lives that just almost took us out. But here's the question we're going to have to wrestle with. Did we learn from what we survived, or are we standing one step away from repeating it? My message this morning is called, Don't Trip Over What You Survived. So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read verses 1 through 13. And the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in those 13 verses to a church who had seen God move. A church who had experienced God's power, but yet was now drifting into dangerous territory. And he reminds them, and he reminds us as well, that survival is not the same as transformation. God doesn't just bring us out of things so we can brag about making it. He brings us out of those things so we don't go back to them. So lean in this morning and then let the Spirit speak. And if he puts his finger on something in your life, don't argue with him. Just listen. But before we roll up our sleeves and dig in too deep into the message, let's just kind of hit the pause button for a moment. Because this morning is not just another day. It's a gift. It's a gift to you and me. And trust me, in my line of work as a hospice chaplain, I see that every week. I see that every week with people that don't get to wake up. Given to you and I, it's a gift. And the one who's given it to you and I, it's worth the shout. So let's shout out together and declare, like you mean it, loud and clear from Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath. Amen. That was good. I like that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come to you this morning. We come to you this morning as a people who survived more than ever we thought we could. Not because we're tough, but because you're merciful. So, Father, as we open the Word this morning, keep us humble and steady. Expose in our lives any complacency and pull us back from any drift and help us grow from what we've come through instead of just repeating it again. And when you show us the way out of temptation, give us the courage. Give us the courage to take it. And Father, we ask that you speak clearly to us this morning, correct us gently, and restore what's worn thin in our lives. And we trust you with all the parts of us that need the most work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, in January of 25 last year, y'all remember this, an American Airlines jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter collided near Reagan National Airport, killing nearly 67 people. And the National Transportation Safety Board revealed something heartbreaking, and that was this, that this wasn't just a freak accident. It was the result of years of ignored warnings and repeated near misses. And the dangerous belief of, we've gotten away with it before, so we'll get away with it again. And investigators showed that pilots had reported dozens of near collisions over the years. Matter of fact, in 2013, there was a near identical near miss that happened, but no meaningful changes were ever made from that. And supervisors had to ask air traffic, because it was unsafe, that the request was denied to fix that problem. Everyone involved had survived so many close calls that the danger started to feel normal. The NTSB said bluntly, "We should be angry. This was 100% preventable." Why? Because for years, pilots and controllers survived close calls and treated them like proof that everything was fine. They walked away from danger again and again, but they never learned from it. We do the same thing in our lives. We survive things by grace, by the grace of God, not the brilliance that we have. And God isn't just trying to get us out alive. He's trying to teach us how not to go back. You know, in my 63 years of living on this earth, I've noticed something about human beings. That we're incredibly gifted at surviving things and absolutely horrible at learning from them. I mean, we crawl out of car wrecks. We walk away from disasters. We limp out of bad relationships that we get ourselves into. We're able to escape addictions and beat diseases with modern medicine. And somehow, by the grace of God, we make it through. Then a few years later, we step right back into something just as foolish and fresh confidence and no helmet at all. We say to ourselves, well, that was close. But God says, no, that was instructional. And that's what Paul is talking about in our passage today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He's not scolding the church. He's simply warning them. Let's look at chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. It says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happened as examples for us, that we should not crave evil things as they also craved. And do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction upon the whole ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to men. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." So the Apostle Paul is saying, you survived the Red Sea, so don't be drowning in your backyard. Don't end up in the spiritual hall of fame and shame. And so Paul, he takes us back to Israel and he says that they had the cloud, they had the sea, they had Moses, they had manna, they had water from the rock. They had the very presence of God going before them. So in modern terms, I guess you could say they had a miracle GPS. They had divine food delivery. They had supernatural hydration and front row seats to the glory of God. So if anyone should have stayed faithful at all, it was them. And yet, as Paul writes, most of them didn't. They still complained and they still worshipped golden cows. And, you know, those things, they still chased what glittered instead of what guided them. Which proves something very important. And that is, seeing miracles doesn't make you mature. Surviving storms in your life doesn't make you wise. Knowing God doesn't mean you follow God. Now, you can walk through the Red Sea and still get lost in the desert. The first thing that'll make you trip over what you survived is this: the danger of spiritual amnesia. The kind of forgetfulness that doesn't hit your brain, it hits your character. Look at Paul, what he says in verse 6. These things happened as an example for us. Israel didn't just wander for 40 years. They left us a field manual. They walked into the desert so that you and I wouldn't have to. God left his footprints in the sand so we could see where the potholes were, where the sinkholes were, where the snake pits were. But you know, you and I were funny creatures. We remember the miracle, but we tend to forget the message. We remember the rescue, but we tend to forget the reason. We remember that God saved us, but a lot of times we forget what almost destroyed us. Before long, we're flirting with the same sins that God has already drug us out of. Kind of like the guy who swears he'll never touch a hot stove again while reaching for it with fresh confidence and a bare hand. I mean, we like to say, well, you know, I'm strong now. I can handle it. And that's where Paul stepped in like a seasoned foreman, saying, easy there, cowboy. Because pride, especially the spiritual kind, is usually the first loose board on the staircase, which sends you and I tumbling for a fall. Spiritual amnesia. It convinces us that we're bulletproof right before we walk back into the same crossfire. And Paul's whole point is simple. If you forget what God taught you in the last storm, you're signing up for another one. And then Paul drops this line down in verse 12. That ought to make us all kind of sit up straight. He said, lest anyone who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. That's Bible talk for if you think you're bulletproof, you're probably standing in front of the firing range. Now, most people don't fall because they're weak. They fall because they get confident. They stop praying. They stop checking their heart. They stop watching their steps. They don't trip over the temptation before them. They trip over their arrogance. But here comes the good news. Right when it gets heavy, Paul kind of shifts gears in our passage. Look at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. In other words, you're not weird. I'm not weird. You're not broken. You're not alone. Every struggle you fight, somebody else has fought too. And more importantly, God always leaves a door open for you and I. Not a trap door, not a trick door, but an exit. There's always a way out of temptation. The problem is, most of us are staring at the bait instead of the door to get out. And God whispers to us, he says, step this way, and temptation shouts, just one more look, it won't hurt. So how do you and I not repeat history? How do we not trip over what we've been through? You and I avoid repeating history the same way any seasoned tradesman avoids repeating the same painful mistake on the job. And that is this: by remembering what burned us, respecting what can still burn us, and trusting the one who kept us from going up in flames in the first place. When Paul lays it out, remember where you came from. Respect how easily that you can fall again, and rely on how faithful God is. He's basically giving us the spiritual equivalent to a safety briefing from a guy who's lost already a few eyebrows. remembering where you came from. Not to wallow in it, not to just stay there, but to stay honest about it. Your past is like that first job you had cleaning out septic tanks. You don't brag about it, but you don't forget about it either. It taught you some things that you can learn from a textbook, mostly what not to do. And then, respect how easily you can fall. Not fear, but humility. The kind of humility that says, yeah, I've slipped on the ladder before. Maybe I should not climb on a ladder, trimming those limbs up high at my age like I'm auditioning for a circus trapeze act. You know, guys have a hard time doing that because they want to take care of stuff. But our bodies get older, things don't work the way they used to. Also, rely on how faithful God is, because your grip isn't the thing that's keeping you safe. It's the rope. It's the anchor. It's the one who's holding the other end. God has saved you and I from so many things that we have not seen. You know, I was telling Pastor Adam Wednesday night, you know, I said, one of the things I remember you said to me in one of your messages is, you know, we pray for God to extend our life from whatever we're going through, and we don't often know that He's already extended our life, perhaps in some other circumstance we were unaware of. So that's why each day we praise God for the breath we take. And finally, let God reframe your past. Your past is not a museum of shame. It's a workshop of lessons to learn. Every scar, every detour, every what was I thinking moment, it's a tool that God can use, not to embarrass you, but to equip you for greater things in your life ahead. Your past, perhaps, isn't the toolbox you asked for, but it's the one you desperately need. It's full of wrenches that you and I had to learn to use the hard way. And God's the foreman who keeps saying, good, now let's rebuild something together. God didn't just pull you and I out of the mess so you could wander around like a Roomba with a dying battery, bumping into walls, the same walls, apologizing to the furniture, scaring the cat. He saved you and I so that you and I could walk in freedom, spiritual freedom. Straight lines, clear purpose, forward motion. Many of you, God has forgiven your sins, but you're stuck because you haven't forgiven yourself. You hold that over your head. You let that be your detour from God's wanting to do greater things in your life. And once you realize in your point, in your walk with Christ, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that it has to overcome those things that you and I failed at, goofed up at, took the wrong decision, we're able to move forward. But He saved you and I so we could walk in freedom, not dangle things over our head trying to keep us in line. Now, our steps may not be perfect ones, but they are new ones. Freedom, because freedom isn't the absence from your past. It's knowing that your past just doesn't get to drive your life anymore. And that's a big, big, big thing to overcome in your spiritual walk with Christ. Letting freedom drive you instead of your fear trying to drive your past, or your past trying to drive you. Because survival, just because you survive something, isn't the same as surrender. Israel walked between two giant walls of water, something no human had ever seen or done before, and then spent the next 40 years arguing with God, who pulled it off. They escaped the greatest empire on earth at that time, the Egyptian Empire, but yet they couldn't escape their own habits, their own attitudes, their own I know better instincts that they had. It's like watching a guy crawl out of a collapsed mine, dust himself off, and immediately walk back in because he left something important in there. You want to yell at him, buddy, the important thing is that you got out. Survival is a miracle, but survival doesn't automatically turn into wisdom in our lives. You see people who God delivers time and time after again, and yet they fall into the same pattern, the same habits, the same sins, the same thing that they've done before. And it's sad. So don't ignore what you survived. Church, don't let those trials that you survived become what you ignore in your spiritual walk just because you survived them. Because nothing will get you hurt faster than pretending the thing that almost killed you was no big deal at all. That's how people wind up back on the same ladder. It's how people wind back up in the same storm with the same bad idea. What you survived isn't just a footnote. It's a flashing warning light that God has given you and me to keep in our lives. It's a reminder that God didn't just save your life, He saved you from something. And ignoring that is how those crazy circles start in our lives, where we just get on that continuum of repeating the same thing over and over. But when we remember it, that's when freedom begins to grow. Because God brought you out, now let Him bring you forward in your walk with Christ. Getting out of it is just half the story. Moving forward in your spiritual walk with Christ is the other half. God didn't part the Red Sea so the Israelites could set up camp on the other side and say, well, that was exciting. Let's just kind of camp out and stay here forever. No, He brought them out so He could bring them into something. Promise, purpose, a land that didn't taste like slavery anymore. Because you see, God's not in the job, and God's not in the business of just rescue-only jobs. He's a full-service contractor in your life and mine. He doesn't just pull you out of the pit just to save you from something. He builds a road that leads somewhere much better. But when He builds that road, you still have to walk in it. You can't just sit there and say, that's kind of a nice road you built, God. It's kind of paved and good. You still have to take those steps forward. And many Christians have been delivered from so many things in their life from God, but they haven't moved into what He wants next for them. Because moving forward takes trust. Moving forward sometimes takes humility. You know, when y'all attended the Ash Wednesday service, it takes a little humility to have ashes smeared on your forehead. It takes a little humility to go all day long with ashes smeared on your forehead and people saying, I think you got some dirt on your head. What is that? Sometimes it takes humility. Forward takes letting God lead you farther than fear wants you to go. I'm going to say that again. Moving forward takes letting God lead you farther than fear wants you to go. Because fear will hold you back in your life with Christ. It may be the fact that you just need to give a testimony of what God's done in your life. He's delivered you from something, but no one really knows the beautiful miracle that has happened. And so we kind of keep it to ourselves. We don't want to be bragging that God saved me when someone else perhaps is going through the same thing. But God saved you from what you went through so you could move forward. Peter knew what it felt like to be rescued. He was a fisherman who survived storms, bad decisions, and an impulsive mouth. But on that night in the middle of the sea, Jesus didn't just save him from drowning. He called him forward into a life that Peter never imagined would happen. God didn't just calm the storm to keep Peter from being scared. He invited Peter to walk on top of it. God didn't just rescue him from sinking. He taught him how to trust beyond his fear. Now, he trusted God, and he was able to walk on the water. But what happened is fear started to drive his life again, and he began to sink. God didn't just pull him out of the water. He shaped a leader who would one day preach to thousands of people. Peter is the man who proves that God's rescue is never the end of a story. It's just the beginning of a new one. Church, many of you have made it through things. Many of you have made it through some things that probably should have broken you. Don't stop now. Don't keep circling the same desert. Don't let the miracle of getting out just keep you from the promise of moving forward in your life. Don't trip over what you've survived. Move forward. Trust Him. Stop letting fear drive your life. And trust and let God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, give you the power through the Holy Spirit to move forward. As the worship team comes on stage, you know, the exit door is still open. Most people think that God slams the door. Truth is, we're usually the ones who bolt the door shut from the inside. God's the one standing there who's steady, who's patient, who's opening the door for you. Kind of like a seasoned foreman who's watched too many rookies stay in a collapsing tunnel because they just need one more minute. He's not yelling at us. He's not rolling his eyes at us. He's not muttering, "I told you so." He's simply holding the door. Because God isn't angry. He's faithful. Because if God were the angry type, you and I wouldn't have made it past Tuesday. But He's faithful. And He's stubbornly relentless. He never gives up on you and I. The kind of faithful that keeps showing up with fresh mercy, even when you and I have run out of excuses to give God. God's the kind of boss that gives you another shot at it, not because you earned it, but because He sees something in you worth finishing. His faithfulness isn't fragile. It doesn't flinch at your past. And it doesn't fold under the failures that's happened in your life and mine. So if you need grace, strength, or a fresh start, there's no shame in needing help. The only shame is pretending that you don't. Grace for the guilt, strength for the weakness, and a fresh start for those places in your life that you thought were permanently closed. You see, our Father specializes in the jobs nobody wants. The impossible ones. The messy ones. The "I've tried everything" ones. He's the one who makes a way where you were convinced that there wasn't one. And then He walks with it through you step by step. So here's the invitation today. If you're tired, if you're standing too close to what almost destroyed you, if you're ready to step forward, that door is still open. If you're hungry for something new, something clean, and something free, then come. If you want something that you never had, then you've got to do something that you've never done. If you want something that you once had, then you've got to do something that you once did. Come to meet the God who rescues, who rebuilds, and who reroutes you. He's already there. He's already working. And He's already made a way forward for you. Church, let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning Thank you for being faithful in our lives, even when we wander in circles. Help us to remember in our lives what you've done. Help us to respect you, what you're capable of, and rely on the way that you always provide for us. Keep our feet steady this morning. Keep our hearts humble and our eyes on you. Pull us back quickly, Father, when we begin to drift. And draw us close to you when we grow weary. Teach us to trust your voice more than those fears in our lives. Teach us to trust your truth more than our feelings.